Hey everybody, welcome to Burning River Basketball episode number two. I'm Danny Cunningham, joined as always by Ben Buckets Belden. Ben, how are you doing?
I am doing pretty well.
You forgot about the Buckets nickname, didn't you?
I didn't really forget because I actually went back and re-listened to our first podcast a day or two ago, so it's still pretty fresh.
I forgot about it until I just said your name. I realized, oh, he's got a nickname. I have to stick to it.
My kids at school always ask if like my middle name starts with a B because for some reason they think it would
triple
be cool.
B.
Yeah, and now I can tell them that my nickname starts with B, so there it is.
Ben Buckets Belden. Even though we did dissect your shot before we got on here, and you're a little flustered now because I pointed out a pretty big flaw that you had.
Okay, I don't know that I would call it a pretty big flaw. I am a little bit flustered. I'll give you that. However, I don't know. I'm going to have to do a little bit more digging to see if other good shooters shoot from where I do or not. So
Ben shoots from like his chin, and no, shooters do not shoot from there.
I don't know. Okay, well, we'll put that one on the back burner. I'll do some research and I'll see.
All right. Well, let's get to some Cleveland Cavaliers topics here. First off, Cavs coming off of a loss against the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, LeBron James decided he didn't want to participate, which caused a bit of an uproar in the state of Indiana. Ben, do you have an issue with stars such as LeBron taking rest at this point in the season?
No, not really. I mean, on the second night of a back-to-back, it doesn't really bug me all that much. I think that not only did LeBron sit, well, obviously J.R. Smith was still kind of nicked, and he sat also. But from, I mean, Ty Lue went with some lineups that he wouldn't normally go with. So at any level of basketball, when you're playing a second night of a back-to-back, it's not like scheduled in a high school game or something like that, but sometimes it happens. You kind of tend to expand your bench a little bit, and I don't think it's any different for an NBA player to just take a night off. It's not like he's going to do it every single back-to-back, but obviously 10 games in, it was fine. So I have no issue with it. But others feel different.
Oh, yeah, others definitely feel it differently. I have no issue with it at all. I think LeBron should probably rest more than he does, which might not be a popular opinion either, but I want LeBron to be fresh in May and June and for as many seasons as he can be fresh in. But there were articles written about LeBron resting and how it's unfair and how it's scamming fans out of money, which I really don't care about. I understand the NBA market stars, but at the end of the day, sure, you're not watching LeBron, but if you went to that game, you got to watch Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and Paul George. So that's not bad either.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of – I think it was Greg Popovich. No, it wasn't Greg Popovich, but it was someone who was talking about Greg Popovich saying that you should only be able to rest your stars at home.
No,
and
I disagree.
I pretty well disagree too, but I could see where that person's coming from because certain fans, I guess, go to certain arenas. Like they're probably Indiana Pacer fans that wanted to see LeBron play that went bought tickets for that game and
come to Cleveland.
It didn't happen, but yeah, I mean, I don't really feel that bad about it because in this day and age, it's 2016. You can, I mean, it's not the same watching it in person. I understand, but it really just doesn't bug me that bad.
Get league pass. I mean, come to Cleveland.
Don't be quite so. I don't know. Don't be quite. Don't get quite so angry about.
Hope your
something
team's good enough to make the playoffs and matches up against the Cavs. Yeah. He won't miss that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, I don't know. I think that people get a little bit too bent out of shape about it. I mean, I understand why some people. You know, I guess if I bought tickets to watch the Golden State Warriors come into Cleveland and, you know, Steph Curry was hurt or not hurt, but just not playing, I'd be a little bit like, ah, that kind of stinks. But at the same time, I'm enjoy watching my team. So exactly. It really wouldn't ruin my night. So whatever.
And people don't understand that LeBron taking rest from the game doesn't mean he's not working. He went through a workout that next day, which he put on Instagram that looked like an extremely, extremely intense workout. And he still does go through shoot around and travel and everything else. So it's not as if the game is his only part of the job. He has so many more things he has to worry about. You okay there, Ben?
Yeah. I had to take a quick little, pit stop there for a second. And then I wasn't real graceful getting back into the saddle, but I'm back. So yeah. LeBron, when you play at such a performance, such a high level, it's, I don't know. You gotta do what's best for your body. And really it's been proven time and time again that a back-to-back really just is not the greatest thing for an athlete's body. So I completely understand it. And like I say, I think anything that increases the longevity of somebody like LeBron James's career, somebody like even other NBA superstars, doesn't have to just be LeBron. Anything that increases their career is better for the NBA, better for the league, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, and I'm willing to bet Kyrie Irving doesn't participate in every back-to-back, and neither does Kevin Love.
Certainly not. Certainly not.
Now, on the front side of that back-to-back, we had the Cavs against the Raptors in Cleveland, which LeBron did play in, and he played magnificently. That was one of the better games of the young NBA season, strictly for entertainment purposes, back and forth. It was actually a very, very good game. What were your thoughts coming away from there? Do you think that Toronto could be a threat to the Cavs? Do you think that – what's your takeaway from the Raptors from that game?
I think that the Raptors are a team that is going to be close for a long time, and I don't think it ever really goes well for them. I'd be really frustrated if I was a Raptors fan, because after getting swept by the Cavs – no, I'm sorry. After taking the Cavs to six games, but the Cavs really just kind of turned it on. But after what the Cavs did, I guess I was, I don't know. I was probably thinking about the Indians or something, but after, that's not even right. I'm sorry. But anyways,
the Indians beat the Blue Jays in five games,
whatever. Okay. So I guess what I'm trying to say is the city of Toronto and the city of Cleveland. Like if you're a Toronto fan, you want to see your team beat Cleveland once in a while. And it just doesn't seem to happen all that often. And you thought you had it because at one point the Raptors were up, I think, 7 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and the Cavs entered the quarter, I believe they entered the quarter with a lead, and then the Raptors came storming back, took a lead of seven, like you said, and then it was really entertaining down the stretch. Channing Frye hit a couple big shots. It was a really, really good game, honestly.
Yeah, and it was a weird one, too, with those couple offensive fouls right there towards the end. And
the phantom foul on Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Picked up a tech. I mean, the tech was the right call, and by rule it was a tech with what happened, but the call, it was not a foul.
Yes, yeah. And then, like, the LeBron James offensive foul where he really just pivoted and – I don't know. I think it was Kyle Lowry that fell over.
Less than a stellar call. The Jonas Valanciunas offensive foul was probably the worst call of them all.
Yes.
I thought that was kind of a joke. But I was happy with how well that game went. I thought it was very entertaining for someone that was in the building watching. I was thoroughly entertained.
Yeah, it was definitely entertaining for sure. And I don't know. That one really epitomizes the Cleveland Cavaliers for me, because they were just kind of, I don't know, they were in coast mode most of the time.
Chill mode.
Well, LeBron James has chill mode. I don't know if the whole Cavs have chill mode. All right, we'll go with it. But anyways, they were just kind of in this, you know, we don't feel like playing real, real great yet. And then once they got down by seven, they were like, oh, crap. All right, now we got to switch it on for a couple minutes. And it works. And I don't know, like, this whole chill mode thing for, like, I understand it for LeBron, but for the whole Cavs, it concerns me just a teeny tiny little bit. I don't know. The Cavs seem to only play well when teams push them, and they didn't seem like they were being pushed, and I hope that translates to a team that can push them for four quarters. They play well for four quarters, but on both sides of the ball. So I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit concerned by the fact that I don't want to see the Cavs playing 121 to 117 games against the Warriors later, you know, down the road in the spring and then on into the summer. But then again, we're not playing the Warriors, and I think it's a different animal when you're playing someone like the Raptors.
Well, dating back, I don't think the Cavs have beaten the Warriors without scoring 100 points in any game other than Game 7 since LeBron returned. I think that's their only win against the Warriors that they scored less than 100 points. Because they, in the 2014-2015 regular season, they lost at Golden State, and they smoked Golden State in Cleveland. They scored, I believe, 115 in that game. Every game, the two games they won in the 15 finals, I believe they scored 100, and three of the four in the past finals, they scored 100.
Wait a minute. Didn't the Warriors smoke the Cavs in Cleveland last year?
No, in the 2014-2015 season.
All right. Okay. I understand now. Yeah. So
Steve Kerr got all emotional, got a technical. Cavs won by like 20 points that game.
Okay. All right.
And when they played in Golden State that year, LeBron did not participate. That was during his little hiatus, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. That was his, however many, 10 game or whatever it was, HGH trip to Miami.
What?
You don't subscribe to the theory that LeBron needed a little something something to get himself back and right?
I do not think LeBron James uses HGH, Ben.
Are you just saying that because you're being recorded on a podcast right now? Or
no, I truly believe that.
I don't know. I think LeBron's juicing. The whole going back to Miami and suddenly he's like a different guy thing had me a little bit suspicious.
He rested for 2 weeks.
Why couldn't he rest for 2 weeks at his beautiful, huge mansion in Akron, Ohio?
Because it was like 10 degrees.
He doesn't have to go outside.
He has to look at snow.
Looking at snow doesn't make you cold.
It messes with you psychologically.
Fair enough, but I don't know. LeBron's little trip to Miami there, I guess. Yeah, okay. So the point was that one Golden State game that year was during LeBron's little hiatus.
Yeah, and I think the Cavs lost by like 15 or so. Yes. They kind of hung in there, but that was before Golden State was considered a super team.
And then was last year the year that they lost by like 8 or something on Christmas? And they
it was a close game on Christmas. That's when David Blatt decided to change the rotation that day. And then they lost by about 90 on Martin Luther King Day at home.
Yes. And the thought process behind that, right, is still that the Cavs threw that to get David Blatt fired. Is that what people are saying?
I don't subscribe to that theory either because they lost that – they got smoked that game, and then they played – that was a Monday night. Then that Wednesday, the Clippers came to town, and they beat the Clippers, and then David Blatt was fired 2 days later. Blatt's last game was a win, like a really good win against
– Yeah, how many coaches can you say that happened for? Your last game before you got fired was a great win.
Like, they beat a really good team at home coming off a terrible loss. And then we're like, all right, we'll see you, David. Bye. Like, what?
You know what was really fun? You know what was really fun was when they lost to the Clippers on Christmas. And I think it was Richard Jefferson and somebody else, like, didn't play or were really, really reduced. And then the next night they went to Portland. And that's the game that supposedly the Cavaliers basically just protested and lost by like 40 points.
They lost by 26, I think.
But they were down by a lot.
They got smoked. At 1 point.
Absolutely blown out of the building. Like, it was over after the first quarter.
That was the day David Blatt got fired, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. But I don't know how we've so far digressed off of this season for the Cavs, and now we're reminiscing back.
Well, as long as we digress, let's circle back on the fact that Damon Jones hit the game-winning shot to clinch LeBron James's first playoff series. Because we talked about Damon Jones a lot off the air, who is now part of the Cavaliers coaching staff. But man, Damon Jones buried a shot in Game 6 of the 06 first round against the Wizards to send the Cavs to the second round. Think about that.
Oh man, I don't even know what to say at this point. Damon Jones, I really miss him bringing the ball into the front court and doing that little leg kick thing.
Yes,
to get, like,
that was the best.
Like, what was that? Who taught him?
He couldn't handle the ball. He needed to defend off defenders.
you know you're a bad point guard when, like, as soon as you get into the front court, you turn your back to the basket and you basically just start a back down until you can enter it to a wing. I mean,
well, there was another point guard that used to do that rather frequently wearing a Cavaliers jersey.
And who is that?
Who now plays for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Now play. Oh.
Dele did that all the time. He just didn't use a leg kick.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I don't think. Well, actually, I don't know. you mean the same Dele that could start for just about every team in the league? That's the guy you're referencing right now? Oh, God.
That's the one.
Anytime you talk about Matthew Dellavedova on this podcast, I'm going to ask that question.
That's the guy.
I don't think that most of our listeners at this point know what we're talking about, so we need to get back on topic.
I guess so. Upcoming for the Cavs, they've got the Pistons tonight. We're recording this at 6:45 on Friday, so by the time you're listening to it, Cavs are either at halftime or the game's over and they probably won. And then later on, who do they have upcoming this week? I should know this, and I'm unprepared a little bit, but whatever.
You can keep talking and I'll look it up.
What do you want me to talk about? We can talk about how Matt Maron thinks that Damon Jones would start for every team in the league.
You met not Damon Jones. Damon Jones is retired.
Matthew Dellavedova.
You used his name on the podcast. You can't do that.
I just did. I subscribe to the theory, names, please.
Okay, so they have the Pistons tonight, Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving. They are at home against the Blazers. That'll be a fun one. I always love when Kyrie Irving and Damian Lillard go against each other. That's
One of my most memorable games is when LeBron sat out and Kyrie dropped 55. He hit that game-winning three-pointer on the right wing. At the queue.
Yes. Yes.
LeBron's first year back. See, my memory is just incredible.
Oh, no one forgets the double nickel. No one forgets
what,
the double nickel.
What game did you like more, that or the 57?
At San Antonio?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the one against Damian Lillard because he had to – I don't know. Kyrie was trying to bring it on both ends and – the game in San Antonio, I felt so much like the Spurs just, I don't know, because that second three that Kyrie hit to send it to overtime in regulation, he had back-to-back threes in regulation, but it was sandwiched to Kawhi Leonard missed free throws, and I just hate when games happen like that because the other team just completely, I don't know, buckled. So I think that the Trailblazers one with LeBron taking a rest was more impactful, I guess you could say.
I also love the fact that you could arguably say that the three biggest shots Kyrie's hit in his career include regular season and playoffs are game seven, the three against the Blazers, and that three against the Spurs to send it to overtime.
Yep.
All three come from the exact same spot on the floor.
Yeah, and there's a YouTube video out there somewhere. And I don't know, it would take me forever to find it. But there are an incredible amount of times where Kyrie has hit a big shot from that right wing.
Yeah, it's his favorite spot. He hit a big shot from the right side in the Olympics this year. His numbers there are just astronomical. Now, I don't have the numbers to back that up, but I'm just going to assume they're astronomical.
They are. I've seen them. I don't know if I can find them again, but I've seen them. Yeah, so the Cavaliers coming up, listen to this stretch of games. Thursday, December 1st, they have – I've skipped a couple of games, obviously, because I don't necessarily –
Don't they have the Clippers the first, the Bulls the second?
Yes, and then right after that, they go to Toronto, and then right after that, they play at the Knicks, and then to round out that week, Friday, December 9th, they have the Heat at home, which is going to be fun, I think.
I hope they beat the Heat by 100.
I think it could happen.
I hate Pat Riley.
Yes. But that stretch of Clippers, Bulls, Raptors, I think that's going to be
– How many of those games is LeBron playing?
I don't think he's sitting out against the Bulls.
No. He's definitely playing against Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
And so, he has to go to that game wearing Chicago Cubs gear, mind you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I kind of forgot about that. But
I didn't.
So I guess, and I don't think he's sitting out against the Clippers either, because he probably wants to play against Chris Paul, you would think.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a big game. That's nationally televised, isn't it? That's on TNT, might be. I believe.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is.
And then Cavs Bulls is on ESPN the next night.
Right.
I find it hard to believe he's going to sit out national television games.
Yes. And then Monday, December 5th, is against the Raptors. So he's got 2 days to rest in between there. So he's going to play all three, if I had to guess.
It depends if Drake's in Toronto. Can we talk about the Warriors for a little bit here? So
yeah, let's talk about
the Raptors had Drake night when the Warriors were in town. Stupid promotion, but whatever. And Kevin Durant gets bumped into by Drake and then tries to act all villain, like a villain. And I don't give it.
Wait. What word were you trying to say?
Like villainous, I guess. I don't know.
Go on.
And he's like, I don't give a damn about no damn Drake night. The Warriors want to be these villains, and that's not who they are.
Now, remember the last team that tried to be the villain?
Yeah, didn't work out.
Yeah, yeah. The last team that tried to be the villain were the, I guess that would have been the 2010-2011 Miami Heat.
Correct.
And that didn't really work out for them. So Jason, go ahead and Jason be the villain.
Jason Terry and Dirk Nowitzki beat you in the playoffs.
Jason Terry now has a tattoo on his arm to signify him beating you in the playoffs.
No, he got that before they won.
No.
Yes, he did.
Bull.
I swear to God.
Was it not finished or something? No, I swear
that. Like, he got a tattoo of the Larry O'Brien trophy before that series, before the playoffs started.
Oh.
Swear to God.
Well, that was bold.
Yeah, it was, and it worked. The Mavaliers, man. But
the Mavaliers. Cavs for Mavs, baby. 2011.
And then the OK Klee shirts that last year. We were so petty, man.
Man, we were petty back then. Like, I was just telling you before we started recording that, you know, for about a year and a half-ish, maybe, like, I really, really hated LeBron after he left and was really, really petty. And those were the times. And then, I don't know, I secretly kind of liked LeBron even after, like, about a year and a half. I still didn't really want him to win the finals, but I really liked watching him play. Almost, like, kind of like the Heat, because I was just so fascinated by them. Those were great times.
They were good.
Meanwhile, we were losing 27 games in a row. But go on, tell me what you were going to say.
But they weren't villains. And the Warriors are not villains. Like, I'm sorry, Steph Curry, you can't throw a super villains party. You have a baby face. Like, you all have goatees. Villains don't have goatees like that.
You've done one too many interviews with your 3-4-year-old daughter to be a villain.
Your wife has a cooking show. You're not a villain.
What if I really want Savannah James to have her own TV show now? That would be great marketing, I think, to pit Savannah against Aisha. God, that would be great.
The Warriors have 1.5 villains on their team.
Draymond Green.
And half of Klay Thompson.
Half of Klay Thompson. Yes. Do you think Klay Thompson ends the year in a Warriors uniform?
Yes, I hope so. I want him to go through the pain of losing the finals again. Genuinely want that for him. I don't know if there's an athlete I dislike more than Klay Thompson right now. I was just so... Well, I don't know if I was perturbed, but I was really interested with his whole man's game press conference. And that's something that totally gets overlooked when thinking about last year's finals because of how well LeBron and Kyrie played in game 5 and then LeBron in game 6 and game 7 and just everything that led up to the Cavs coming back. But what triggered it all, obviously, was the Draymond Green incident. But if Klay Thompson doesn't have that press conference telling LeBron that he got his feelings hurt and that it was a man's game, I'm not sure the Cavs win the title.
I mean, people are real quick to talk about Draymond sitting out game 5 and how that ruined the whole Warriors mojo and all of that nonsense. But you said it, like, people don't talk about the fact that Klay Thompson talked about how, I guess, LeBron got his feelings hurt.
Yeah.
enough. And LeBron's reaction to that whole thing was just, my goodness, that'll go down in, I mean, that's one of the best vines ever, I think, because he's like, what did Clay say? Well, I guess he just got his feelings hurt. And LeBron's just like,
sometimes it's so hard to take the high road, man.
It's so great. It is like one of my favorite LeBron moments, like off the court for sure.
And I think that changed LeBron a little psychologically. If Clay doesn't do that, I don't think he has the Kermit hat with the holding the trophy. I don't think he wears the Ultimate Warrior shirt getting off the plane. Like, I don't think he does all these petty things. And don't get me wrong, petty LeBron is my favorite LeBron. By far, my favorite LeBron. I love petty LeBron. Like,
you don't think he, like, if you throws a Halloween party with 3-1 lead?
Probably not.
But did you hear what Klay Thompson said about the cookies?
He goes, where I don't get it. We're not dead. Like, kind of, man. He kind of killed you guys.
Is he really that dumb? Do you think Klay Thompson's really that stupid?
I don't know, man. He said LeBron James got his feelings hurt. Anything's up for debate.
He seems to be really that stupid to me. Like, he just doesn't seem like a smart guy and doesn't understand.
If we could go back to LeBron's first era when he was shooting those Nike commercials that were titled The LeBrons, you had old man LeBron, businessman LeBron, athlete LeBron, little kid LeBron. I wish we could throw in a petty LeBron. Just give him another alter ego, man. Make him petty LeBron.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that would be great. You remember those commercials where – and they have put Z in it too?
Mm-hmm.
What is up, LeBron? Oh, those were legendary.
The puppet commercials were good with him and Kobe. And then Dwight Howard killed Nike's marketing campaign there.
Yep. For sure. Okay. Speaking of petty things and petty LeBron, one thing that you and I briefly discussed before we came on air was the whole Phil Jackson thing that has happened since the last time that we have recorded. And in case anyone missed it that's listening to this, Phil Jackson – once again, and it isn't the first time that he has said this, has referred to LeBron and his posse, basically meaning, you know, Mav Carter and Rich Paul, the guys that LeBron grew up with and are now his business partners, business associates and things. What was your reaction to LeBron's reaction, to Mav Carter's reaction, and all of that good stuff surrounding Phil Jackson and LeBron and all of that great stuff?
I didn't take it as Phil was trying to necessarily be racist. Although I definitely understand how it can be taken as racist. I don't think Phil Jackson is a racist by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think Phil was trying to be demeaning towards LeBron and LeBron's associates.
Yeah, I tend to agree. The way I look at it is like, doesn't Phil Jackson have like other things on his plate to
like talk fixing about? The Knicks?
Not even just fixing the Knicks, quit running them into the ground by running an offense that only works when you have Hall of Fame type players.
The only thing that he's done right is draft Chris Stapps.
Yes.
That's it. Yes.
I mean, oh man. So I think really more than LeBron and Mav Carter, and really it was Mav Carter first who said something. People are quick to talk about how LeBron got all bent out of shape. It was Mav Carter that said something, and really all LeBron said was, yeah, I mean, I've kind of lost respect for the guy after everything that he said. He was really matter of fact about it. It was Mav Carter that really kind of went out of his way to talk about, to bring it racial, I guess, is what it was. So, and I don't know. Like, I don't know about the whole racism thing as far as the word that was used. But I don't know. So, like, I have to admit that I did not understand that the term posse had any type of racial implications. And I don't know. So, like, I think I've said that word plenty of times about people not really realizing. And I don't know. I read a little bit about it and read a little bit about the history. And I don't know. But before that, I had no idea. So, I have to imagine that, like you said, Phil isn't trying to be racist by it, but he's definitely, for some reason or another, continuing to take a shot at LeBron. And it really confuses me because, like, what is he to gain from it?
Yeah, what does he gain by taking a shot at LeBron? It doesn't make sense to me. What does this do for your career at this point, if you're Phil Jackson, for you to just take a stab at LeBron? I don't understand.
Does Phil Jackson know that his best player is like
best friends with LeBron?
Like, I don't get it. And in case people didn't know, and I didn't exactly know all this until I did some reading and did some digging, this isn't the first time Phil has referred to LeBron and his group of friends as a posse before. He wrote about it in his book in 2004, which was like during LeBron's rookie year, where he talks about how 19-year-olds shouldn't be in the NBA. Hello, Kobe Bryant. But so I don't know. Like I say, Phil Jackson, instead of just coming out and saying like, hey, I didn't mean it to be like that or anything, he goes and he retweets his vice president, who tweeted at him about the possefoundation.org or something like that. So it really seems to me, my stance on it is that Phil Jackson is being pretty petty about this, and I don't know where it came from. I think LeBron and Mav Carter are justified, I guess, in being upset about it. And I think people that are upset at LeBron for being upset are just, I don't think they quite understand the whole, I don't know where this came from, and the fact that it's been building up more than just in the last week.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but it is time for us to wrap things up because the Cavs do start their game against the Pistons momentarily. So if you want to find Ben on Twitter, where could people go to do that? I don't know why they would, but whatever.
Well, I mean, in the event that you might, I'm at bbelden330. Obviously, you can check out my other work at Burning River Basketball, which is at brbasketball on Twitter, burningriverbasketball.com. And yeah, you'll be able to find all that good stuff there.
Dope. Okay. Well, you can find me on Twitter at dcunninghamcle. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.